A Katsu Master Specialist, over the past 5 years, Andre Metzger was inducted in the class of 2017 as a distinguished member of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. He talked about the nine hands principle, where wrestlers and swimmers should think about using their, quote, nine hands, their head, 2 feet, 2 knees, 2 elbows, and 2 hands. In this podcast, Metzger talks about some interesting concepts with Olympic swim coach Chris Morgan, also a Katsu Master Specialist, while discussing the nine hands concept for wrestling and swimming.
Basically, nine hands work all at the same time. So I've got nine hands. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I always forget about those two. And then 9. So my 9 is basically my cerebral hand, which can be used for positioning and mainly only in wrestling.
Statements made in this podcast have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. For more information about Katsu and Katsu products, visit katsuglobal.com. That's katsuglobal.com.
With your concept of the nine hands in wrestling, but as a swimming coach and working with high performance athletes, I've been very intrigued, and I even feel like it can be a carryover into other sports. But can you explain more specifically what each of the nine hands could be used for in wrestling, both offensively, defensively, and maybe even on the psychological part?
So one, on the psychological part, to start out with that, basically the psychological part of a nine hands is understanding if I know where all my hands are, it's going to put more pressure on an opponent if I'm actually doing a physical situation where I actually am competing against you in something that you and I have to come in contact with each other. I'm sure it's different as an individual sport, but it still has very similar principles in that each of our proprioceptors inside of our body, we know that now that they actually act as a balancing act for us sometimes. If I'm going to stand on my hands here, or if I'm going to get upside down, or if I've got to be on my, I go to the ground and they have one of my hands controlled, or two, they could have my elbow completely controlled. And so many times, if you talk to wrestlers and fighters and different people, when you get caught in a position where just your arm's caught, it'd be great to cut it off. But it doesn't work that way, because if I cut it off, then I don't have it anymore. So I have to use it and understand how to get out of it to utilize like elbows. And the elbows work as a hand. I really believe, too, that there's really 4 more potentially, because when I bring my arm here, if I'm going to rotate this arm up to control anything that's outside this side, because what I think about within the nine hands when I actually teach somebody is you have to imagine a different level of pressure in order to understand why it's important. Because if I've got a big blade cutting me right here that just keeps cutting and I put it out, it'll be gone. It's just cut off, bam, the blade cuts it off. But if I can learn to go with the blade or move with the blade, then I understand better where I'm at. Now, the unique thing about it is it's like when I teach young kids, and I'm going to stand up for 1 second. So when I teach young kids how to do this move, which we talk about wax on, wax off, if I bring somebody here, okay, whenever I teach them to move that move, I teach them to move this hand too. So this hand, it comes involved if I'm going to start to move. With anytime I start one move, and I have to know where the other is. And the thing is, it's not complicated. It's a matter of task or drilling. This is why people drill anything we do, because we think with our body and we move with our mind. Our mind basically is the movement. Now, of course, our brain is different than the connection of the mind. So when I learn to make motion, it's a habit. And once I start those habits, once I get those habits in line, and I understand the importance of position, because position is a portion of strength. Anytime I have position on anything, I have strength. So learning positions are so important. For instance, wrestling, the reason I use my head so much is because if they grab my head, I have a way to get under them. If they bring their arm up, I can duck under their side. If they bring their arm down, I can snap them down. So I have to actually drill to the way for every action, there's a multiple number of reactions, not just one. There's a many ways somebody can go. If I grab his elbow, he can move back or forward. You know, and when he grabs my head, there's a lot of different things he can potentially do. And it is the one thing that's very vulnerable that I have to really be careful of. Because as a wrestler, they can't choke me, but they really can. I mean, legally, you can kind of get around making sure that you cut off the carotid artery. And if you learn how to do it well, they don't mind if you don't lock their hands. So there's different ways to put a lot of pressure on, or you put pressure on the true joints. Okay, so, and I'm maybe getting off a little bit, but it's really still on target of why it's important for me to understand all nine hands. For instance, the other thing is to use my legs. Okay, my legs are used so much. If you watch the best at any athlete, if you watch them, you're watching a bunch of pistons moving. I mean, we got 80% of our body weight is within our head and our main frame. We only have 20% out here with the arms and the legs, which probably the legs take up maybe about 14%. Now, I don't know those exact numbers on the arms and legs, but I do know the numbers on the 80 because I just studied it. So the 80% of weight that I have, I'm dealing with controlling it with 20%. And the only way I can understand my other 20% is where they're at. If I'm going to lift up a weight, and we talked about before, if I'm here with the weight, it's easy for me to lift. But when the weight gets out here, now when I start lifting, I'm going to do this and I come top it. So I have to understand how to get under something. So those pistons or those hands, the foot, feet hands and the knee hands work very important together. What I've done is I've actually started to my younger kids, like 4 to 8 year olds, teaching them what a target zone is, which this is a low target zone. This is a target zone too. It's how to attack this part of the body, okay? And then we have carry zones, which we talked about before too with these. These are how I carry things. And when I bring them together with my knees, then I can carry a lot more or control a lot more because I can block here. I can block here. I always cross block, though, not always. Everything happens in unison when you drill. But if I'm touching this hand out, this leg is back so that if they attack, I can bring this arm too in and they go by me. So I can basically run the bull by. I call that a Toro Ole too. So there's simple stuff to do with it. But knowing the carry zone is real important because if I'm under you, if I get to your body, and I can get to your target zone or your load, which is the main place I'm looking for. If I can get in there with an extension, because distal control is real important in the law of leverage. So if this arm's straight and this is catching your target, your carry zone, the back of your knee, and this shoulder now covers your load or your target zone, I now can lift you because I can move you off from that target or move you off from your balance to where you almost jump into my arms. So as I make the move here to bring you to me, I pick this up. So I bring this out. So I'm controlling your zones too. So understanding the nine hand principle is nothing more than understanding that all of our appendages need to learn to work with our body to get to the best strength position, if you will. And then, like, for instance, in your sport, to the way I would figure it would work in your sport, and you know better than me, Chris, but you can modify it in just that little things about this, too, because these fingers make a difference, too, especially in wrestling. I learned to cup. I do this. I don't do this anymore because I've dislocated these. So when you damage something and you figure it out, it changes the way you think. Because now I have to think about winning or finishing a match besides just, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes for this match because I've got another match coming up. If it's a tournament trying to win, say, an NCAA tournament or trying to win a world tournament or trying to win any tournament, the bottom line is I still need my body there. In 85 in the world championships, I was wrestling a guy who I had shot in on the legs and penetrated on the legs. And when I went to the side and beat the shoulder, basically I come into the, his crotch and pick him up. He held on to this leg. When he held on to it, I figured, what the heck, I'll throw it anyways. When I threw it, he took my knee and brought it with me, which dislocated my, or really just tore my ACL apart, and I was done for the tournament. So sometimes you have to hold back when you realize that one of your arms are in jeopardy, or one of your hands are in jeopardy, or one of the zones that I'm talking about are in jeopardy. You sometimes have to compromise a little bit. Well, I maybe not score there, and I shouldn't have, because I would have beat the guy anyways, although he ended up winning that year. So the bottom line was, when I threw him to win the match, it won the match, but I was out of tournament. So at some point, we have to, now, that's because I've got pressure on me. I don't imagine any swimmer is going to get out of a tournament because he's digging too far or whatever. I mean, I swim, but do it for conditioning. I don't do it because I'm worried about how fast I'm going. I want to make sure I get in shape, and it's one of the best conditioned sports there is, no doubt, in the world.
Yeah, but I actually think your comment about saving one particular move in order to win the tournament is very similar to Chris's athletes. They don't want to go out too fast. They want to go out too slowly because they've got the rest of the race to use their nine hands.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that it's important that what you're saying, I mean, it's so true, because the challenge that we have, okay, is we all have levels. And whenever we can reach a level that's just higher than somebody else, and I don't need to use something to expose it to another opponent that is very well educated, because most opponents aren't. But there's many that are. When you reach a top level and you see those athletes in there, like, for instance, in the World Championship, I know that the Russians, the Cubans who train with the Russians, who have since 80, okay? And then you've got other countries like Hungary, Yugoslavia, which I think are fair. But when I'm looking at those countries that really understand technique and drill it the way we do, the way America's started doing it many years ago. Now, we've walked away from it, we did. Before I got back in this sport in 2012, I went into a U.S. Olympic training center that was absolutely ridiculous the way they were training. I came in and said, what are you guys doing? And they said, we're drilling. No, you're grabbing a leg, and you're picking it up, and then you're letting it go. Every one of your wrestlers are doing this. This explains to me why we're like ninth in the world at that time. They changed that attitude again and started drilling properly, because you have to start with a setup, right? Then you have to go ahead and hit the task or hit the actual move or execute. Once I execute, I get to a position in which I must not stop. That's when it's really important that I use all those nine hands and make sure that they're in position. Because when I make that effort to start taking somebody and controlling them, I need to get to where I need to be the best strength so that I can score. Once I score, that's called securing. Once I secure, then it's over. Because if I've got them pinned down somewhere, whether or not I use, see, because when I pin down, that's so vital in this game. Like people that have jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, by the way. But people that do Brazilian jiu-jitsu learn a little bit more. It, because they, what they call hang out, which I think is ridiculous, some of it, but that's fine. But when, because I don't hang out, I'm going to either destroy you or stop, or else we're not, because I'm not here to learn how to hang out. I'm here to learn positions. Okay. So I don't know if that makes much sense to people, but you have, because this is a game of love. Wrestling and judo and jiu-jitsu and others are games of levels where you use trickery to catch them, what you just said, which Chris can use in, somebody thinks, boy, that guy's not that fast. And all at once, he just was calming down because he's faster than anybody else in the field. Then he goes out and blows it away by 3 seconds, you know. So that happens, and we know it does, and you just told me it does. We know that the coach says, okay, man, I want you to stay on this pace. If he can get them that good where they're staying on a pace, because at some point you have to up that, amplify it. Similar to what Katsu does for us, is that when I amplify myself, I change the pressure I'm under. And by the way, that's one of our senses.
The Katsu Cycle 2.0 is launched. After years of research, design modifications, software changes, user feedback, and utilization of metabolite testing results, the next generation Katsu Cycle 2.0 is now available. It is more compact and quieter. It is more capable and more powerful than the first generation Katsu Nano and Katsu Master products. The Katsu Cycle 2.0 enables exercise, recovery, and rehabilitation anywhere, anytime, by anyone. The ultra-compact, ultra-light, durable unit offers the Katsu Cycle and Katsu Master training modes and utilizes precise software-controlled limb pressure for both your arms and legs. The Katsu Cycle 2.0 includes four Katsu air bands for both arms and legs, a rechargeable battery with a USB-C charger. The pneumatic elastic bands can be disconnected from the Katsu Cycle 2.0 unit and are waterproof for use in the pool. Based on the original Katsu know-how and U.S. patent number 9775619, compression and decompression control system and vascular strengthening method, the Katsu Cycle 2.0 can do the following. It can tone muscle without weights. It's convenient. It can be done anywhere, anytime, by anyone. It offers access to the Katsu Performance Database. It offers 6 preset Katsu cycle levels. It can efficiently and effectively improve speed, stamina, and strength. The Katsu Cycle 2.0 is an incredible time saver. It can improve circulation. It enables faster recovery. It enables greater range of motion for those rehabilitating and recovering from injuries and surgeries. It is reimbursable with various CPT codes. And the Katsu Cycle 2.0 offers customizable Katsu pressures.
Katsu, profoundly simple and simply profound.
Statements made in this podcast have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. For more information about Katsu and Katsu products, visit katsuglobal.com. That's KATSUglobal.com.
A pressure, knowing pressure, is a sense that we have. So it's one of our senses besides, you know, smell and taste and all those. One of them is understanding or feeling pressure, because our epidermal layer, there's a dermal layer too, okay? So underneath the epidermal layer, which is where we touch and feel, is another layer that needs to be fed. Then there's like a collagen there. I can't remember the exact name of the next layer in our body. But that layer is how we're getting fed through the pressure that we do. Well, in wrestling, these pressures, you don't have pressure when you know where to put things. So if I understand where this hand is, say I understand where this hand, so I drop this if I'm in on somebody. So if I'm penetrating in on somebody and I drop this arm down, see how straight this is, I then can use this as a lever. So as I'm catching a knee, I can lever, and then I make a turn. When I make this turn, that comes to the side. And it also pivots me up, too, at the same time. So just like when we first met, Steve, when we were doing stuff on Huntington Beach or wherever we were, that move was difficult if you don't have strong thighs. So this is a perfect example of something we need to build if you learn the 9 hands. Well, there may be something you're weak in. Well, pick it up and fix it. You know what I mean? Because that's what training does. That's what Chris does as a coach. He teaches his kid, okay, you need more strength here. And here's where we're going to have to work on it, whether you're using bands, weights, or Katsu.
Wow. Andre, I really like that concept of pressure on the epidermal layer as another sense. And Chris, as a coach, as his athletes are pulling their hand through the water, you know, Chris, you could better explain it. It's feel for the water, but it's really that sense of pressure. And I think the elite athletes, the Michael Phelps of the world, they totally understand that pressure against their fingers, their hands, their forearms, etc. Amazing.
You know, I would think, and Chris would have to confirm this, but I would think that actually the better you get in that sport, because it is for me in the sports that I understand very well, although I do swim, but I would think that you could start actually feeling way out there. You're actually feeling that water run off the fingers, which is something that you only can open up through trying to understand how the chemical exchange is through the blood barrier. So if I've got a blood barrier in between my mind and the rest of my body, because that's one thing we talked about before, the difference between the nerves and the mind versus the nerves in the body. The nerves in the body are pretty much connected. The ones in our head are all exchanged through chemicals. None of them are sitting together. They all have a synaptic cleft. Each of them that have the synaptic cleft with their axon and bouton, which is what their nerves are in the mind. When we go to the body, it changes. We're more feely, touchy, if you will. We can feel things. And there are some people that lose that touch. One of the things, like I explained to you guys a long time ago, that I've had, I've had Parkinson's for quite a while, but I don't have very many symptoms. I can cause it. I can create it if I want to. Whenever I go here and cause that arm to start to shake barely, it'll barely start to shimmer. But I can cause it for some reason in different positions. And I really feel like that's the same as the nine hand principle, in that when you actually can connect with your body and see where you're at without looking, that's the most important thing. If I know where my right foot is, I'm going to know whether it's in position or not. And it's like, we can go back to swimming big time, because the majority of people that swim, they're not using their legs hardly at all. The best are using their goddamn legs. They're getting kick out of it. They're getting movement. Whereas just an athlete like me who just jumps in the water and starts swimming, I'm going to work my arms more than I am. It's almost looking like I'm doing doggy style as I learn how to swim, as they teach you to go through the water and smoothly take that water and turn it into your friend. You know, it's kind of, that's the important thing. You got to make the ground for me, which it would be the pool, because I can't go to the bottom of the pool. So you make as much of the gravity and the ground as you can to get to the power of the ground. Because like I said, I've said this many times, the power's in the ground. Now, I have a kinematic link that all starts from my target or my load zone. So I do have that. But all that gets me is the ability to move these arms and legs quickly and in unison and where I need them. When I teach somebody how to fall in judo, it's different than falling in wrestling, by the way. So each sport, and I'm sure that's the same thing, how they dive in swimming may be different in one event versus the other. Now, I'm not positive, but I would think that there would be changes in the way I enter the water. And because I'm not, you know, once again, I've never competed at that, especially at the level that Chris is coaching in and probably has competed. So in swimming, but I can say this, that if I look at gymnasts, if I look at the other sports out there that I don't have to have somebody in front of me to do it. I mean, I can perform it myself. Those sports still are vital for the nine hands is to understand where they're at. Because if I'm doing a flip, I got to make sure my feet are underneath it, right? Yeah.
So. Yes. Wow. Chris, do you have any questions specific to swimming and nine hands?
No, I mean, that was incredibly informative. And Andre, you're right. It's, we talk a lot with the swimmers about, the feel, you know, what is feel for the water? We talk about it a lot. And when you talk about the Olympic level swimmers, or you're a wrestler who's getting into cross train, no offense and no pun intended, the feel for the water is exactly that sense. And I've never thought about it, so that's another thing you've taught us, is that it's another sense that we have, is the sense of pressure. And the better swimmers really do have a natural, even a a subconscious feel for the water. So wonderful.
And what's cool, Chris, is that subconscious, the tap in of it, is so difficult for some people to accomplish. And because consciously we're very weak, okay? And I say that, and I'm not trying to make fun of anybody because I said it, we, okay? Most people, as they start, because we talk about a positive attitude. There's so many people that talk about stay positive, you know, as a man thinketh, we will become. I totally agree with that, okay? But the challenge is we're going to have doubt sometimes. And what can go through doubt is position. If I stay online with where I'm at, it's amazing how all once you get through things. You know, if I can just stay there, I'll be fine. So it's real important to understand that, like, for instance, this is a perfect example because you just rotate it. Okay, there's a strip about 2 or 3 inches here that basically gives me the ability to do this. So my ulna or my radius is on this side and my ulna is on this side coming up to my elbow. When I make this rotation, this right here makes me very strong, okay? In swimming, I imagine it does too, because that's the rotation when it comes in. Well, in wrestling, it's huge for me. The difference, I teach people, this is a power strength. This is nothing. They're going to extend out of me. They're gone. I have nothing to grab. When I turn this, it becomes very powerful. And it's all off a strip about this big, about 2.5 inches in here, that actually has a band that causes me to be able to do this. Which is weird, because that's what's so amazing about the body, is that if you look at the body, let's just look at the liver. It does 500 things, and I've talked about it before, and I'm sorry for talking about it twice, but if you just look at things in the body that do things for us, it's like, man, who can make, I mean, God's the only one who can make this complicated body that does so many things for us, and if we take care of it, and we start actually taking the subconscious, like you were talking about, and step into it. And try to figure out, how do I tap into that? How am I going to do that? We do it through meditation. We can do it through training hard. Because when you, I call it a second wind, if you will. They put, whenever I came back and wrestled in 2012, they put a band on me and checked out, you know, what was going on with my heart, different things. We do it similar to in Katsu too. But they could not believe the energy level I had after I kicked in the second time. So I've always had that ability to kick in after I get warmed up, because they're finding that they're finding the importance of warming up is more and more, especially in sports where you have to have your proprioceptors kicking out quick, where I know where I'm at and I just go. Because like I told you, man, I really believe that my body thinks for me. I don't sit there and if I'm too late, if I say, okay, I'm going to grab your right arm, you know, it's already there. So anyways, it's, wow. So, but it's enjoyable to talk about these things. I really went in depth in it pretty much in a book. It's called the Golden Ages of the 80, Amateur Wrestling's Golden Ages of 80s. And they put in there, they put some different things, but they did put the 9 hand principle in that book.
Okay, so, well, actually... We'll link to that book. That's great, Andre. And this is very applicable, I think, to any sport. The concept of 9 hands and the pressure on the epidermal layer. And I want to thank you very, very much for this time. It's been so educational.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. And I appreciate all you've helped me with through the education that you guys have, you know, and brought. You know, Katsu's, it's like was meant to be for me, because I mean, it's worked so well on what it does for my body and so many people that I've helped. I mean, you know, for me, it's like I'm spoiled. I told you that before. I get spoiled. So because when I have an injury, I just know, but you got to get to a machine, man. Or as you taught me, there's other ways, and that I won't go into those right now. That's an important part to realize that, you know, when you learn to do something, you can always modify and do it anyways. See, one of the things that gets me about people is that they watch them, like when they're in front of Chris or a coach like yourself that coaches something, that's when they fire up and that's when their mind's going and that's when they're saying, oh, I'm going to go hard. It's the best athletes are the ones when I turn around or Chris turns around and they're working even harder. They don't care whether you're looking or not. They're only looking at improving their body, their mind, their understanding of, instead of saying I'm doing this to look good for my coach, I'm doing this to make it to where I can become something. And, you know, they're never going to be Chris Morgan. They're going to be themselves. It may be Taylor Swanson or whoever the guy's name is. That's who Chris is trying to create. He's trying to create a great athlete where you become the person that everybody looks to. And then he sits in the background and says, boy, I produced another one. And when you can produce them like crazy, it's awesome. I mean, what goes around comes around. Oh, once they start saying, yeah, I learned this. But those people become great in their sport.
Well, thank you very much, Andre. Again, this has been wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Introducing the Katsu Cycle 2.0. Katsu is the ultimate biohack for health, rehabilitation, and recovery. Trained bilaterally and untethered from the unit. Tone muscle without weights, lessening the risk of injury to joints and muscles. Improve speed, stamina, and strength. Exercise, recover, and rehabilitate anytime, anywhere. Increase range of motion and promote improved circulation. Accelerate training when time is of the essence. These are just a few of the benefits of the new Katsu Cycle 2.0. Invented in 1966 by Dr. Yoshiaki Sato of Tokyo, Japan, and protected by 47 patents, Katsu Next Generation Equipment and Protocols have a unique and unprecedented safety track record with over 20 million individual Katsu sessions in 48 countries around the globe. Backed by over 50 years of expertise, Katsu Global is excited to introduce the latest advancement in health and wellness, the Katsu Cycle 2.0. Fitting in the palm of your hand or in your pocket, the Katsu Cycle 2.0 is the most advanced, most portable, easiest to use compression device in the world. In combination with a precise, algorithm-controlled limb pressure, Katsu's narrow, elastic bands yield to muscle contractions, providing safe and effective exercise and rehabilitation for users of all ages and from all walks of life, from Olympic champions to disabled individuals. Katsu users have a full range of motion, providing complete control and the opportunity for a wide variety of movements and training. From elite athletes and soldiers to aging baby boomers and busy executives, Katsu Cycle 2.0 is the next generation training and rehabilitation device used around the world. Katsu is used by the United States Department of Defense, as well as the United States Department of Veterans Affairs.
Katsu, profoundly simple and simply profound.
Statements made in this podcast have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. For more information about Katsu and Katsu products, visit katsuglobal.com. That's KAATSU global.com.